scripture reading is found in the book of 2 Kings. It's verses 7 through 17. So once you find it, if you'll stand up. For so it was that the children of Israel had sinned against the Lord their God, which had brought them up out of the land of Egypt, from under the hand of Pharaoh, king of Egypt, and feared other gods, and walked in the statutes of the heathen, whom the Lord cast out from before the children of Israel, and of the kings of Israel which they had made. And the children of Israel did secretly those things that were not right against the Lord their God. And they built them high places in all their cities, from the tower of the watchman to the fenced city. And they set them up images and groves in every high hill and under every green tree. And there they burnt incense in all the high places, as did the heathen whom the Lord carried away before them, and wrought wicked things to provoke the Lord to anger. For they served idols, whereof the Lord had said unto them, you shall not do this thing. Yet the Lord testified against Israel and against Judah by all the prophets and by all the seers, saying, turn ye from your evil ways, and keep my commandments and my statutes according to all the law which I commanded your fathers, and which I sent to you by my servants the prophets. Notwithstanding, they would not hear, but hardened their necks like to the neck of their fathers, that they did not believe in the Lord their God. And they rejected his statutes and his covenant that he had made with their fathers, and his testimonies which he testified against them. And they followed vanity and became vain, and went after the heathen that were around about them, concerning whom the Lord had charged them that they should not do like them. And they left all the commandments of the Lord their God, and made them molten images, even two calves, and made a grove, and worshipped all the host of heaven, and served Baal. And they cast their sons and their daughters to pass through the fire, and used divination and enchantments, and sold themselves to do evil in the sight of the Lord, to provoke him to anger. You may be seated. We're about to hear part one of the message, Baal Worship in Christian Churchianity.
Good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
Well, was a Baptist preacher called Mitt Romney's Mormonism a cult. What was the word? Impolite. Today's message is probably going to go beyond impolite. But, probably considered hate speech or something like that. Well, today there are many people who are advocating what is known in Scripture as Baal worship, either knowingly or unwittingly, the latter being predominant. Our people don't know what it is, don't understand its ulterior motives, or even recognize when they see it. It's like a cancerous disease manifested in many different symptoms, which the average Christian cannot detect without trained eyes. Once America learns her identity and racial truths, we will understand why America has become a haven for abomination and occupied territory of the Antichrist. As the Israelites of Scripture not to be confused with those who call themselves Jews today, served the Baals, and thus bringing divine judgment in the form of national hardships, plunder, and other calamities upon themselves, so too, in more recent history, has the white race once again turned from the God of their fathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. This constant forsaking of God to serve Baal, and thus triggering misery and sorrow, is continually repeated throughout Scripture. One would think a people could look at the historical patterns and learn from their mistakes. However, it's complicated, and history itself has oftentimes been a reflection of the spoils of war and subterfuge, and therefore to the victor goes the spoils of writing their own version of history. The word Baal, found in Strong's 1168, pronounced Baal, means master or owner, but most often refers to a deity, either singular or plural. It is not the name of just one god, but rather a collective of gods in a given locality and time. When Israel entered the land of Canaan, the worship of the Baals was much the same everywhere in the land. Thus, it came to represent the idea of one god. Baalism demonstrates an array of doctrines and beliefs. There are six names for Baal: Balaam, Moloch, Moloch, Malcolm, and Milcom, the last four being Moabite and Ammonite names for Baal. The first use of the word Baal is in Numbers 22, which is very significant considering what is going on. This is the story about the Moabite king Balak, who hired the Baal priest Balaam, who apparently had a reputation of having some sort of power to bless or curse people. And the king paid him to curse the children of Israel. Do you think that's going on today? There are some very wealthy televangelists out there laughing all the way to the bank. The conspiracy to spy upon and curse Israel was intended to destroy Israel and rid them of the land. As you know, God prevented that initial attack from the religious leaders of that day. Can we see a parallel with the political forces out to destroy white Christian America through a priesthood of Baalism? The answer is yes. The next time the term Baal is mentioned is in Numbers 25, where we find Israel has begun to miscegenate with non-Israelites. And verse 3 says, Israel joined in the worship of Baal Peor, and the angel of the Lord was kindled against Israel. Sexual intercourse with non-whites is a primary objective of Baal worship. This is verified in Revelation 2:14, where Jesus said, I have a few things against thee, because thou hast there them that hold the doctrine of Balaam, who taught Balak to cast a stumbling block before the children of Israel to commit fornication. A Strong's Concordance and most Bible dictionaries have a poor to misleading translations of the Greek word porneia, number 4202, as simply fornication, which can inadvertently lead our people to the sin of race mixing. This can be proven with the exchange Jesus had with the Jews in John 8:41. We be not born of fornication. We have one Father God. Well, our first impression is that this is a misuse of the word fornication as simply sexual intercourse. However, as Jesus explains further on, it's a difference in genetic background. Jesus said unto them, meaning the Jews, if God were your father, you would love me. A better word than fornication would have been whoredom. And an allusion to Deuteronomy 23:2, where it says a bastard, meaning a mongrel or half-breed, not an illegitimate child out of wedlock, shall not enter the congregation. The NIV says, no one born of a forbidden marriage. Who were the Israelites forbidden to marry? It would be the people like the Ammonites or the Moabites mentioned in verse 3, who were mongrels. The Hebrew word for bastard is mamzer. And those concordances that do not provide the definition of a mongrel give the word bastard, which was a 19th century equivalent meaning mixed blood. Why do modern Bible dictionaries exclude any reference to half-breeds, mongrels, or miscegenation? Obviously, it is to eliminate the sin of marrying those races whom God had forbidden the Israelites to marry. Christ goes on to accuse these Jews of having both Abraham and Diablos as their father. The Jews were a mixed race people who could not identify with the truth of God. They were natural born liars. Diablos, number 1225, means false accuser, slanderer, devil. And these Jews lied about their ancestry, just as they do today. They are neither Judahites or Semites. We can conclude then that this scriptural distortion is not only a stumbling block to white people today, but a sanction for Baal worship to incur the wrath of God against us, just as Balak caused Israel to commit fornication or marrying forbidden races. But for fornication in Numbers 25 is a clear example of interracial marriage. Quote, and Israel began to commit whoredom with the daughters of Moab. Baal worshippers try to separate the stranger from their strange gods and justify today's Israelites marrying someone of another race as long as they're both Christians. Leading the charge with this concept is none other than the grand poobah of the presidents, Billy Graham. But interracial marriage is never how it works in God's jurisdiction. The first manifestations of Baal worship in the Bible are in the capacity of alien enemies to our race. And they called the people unto the sacrifices of their gods and bowed down to their gods. And Israel joined himself unto Baal Peor, and the anger of the Lord was kindled against Israel. We are dealing with two distinct peoples, not the same bloodline. It was so serious that the two race mixers who were brought before Moses and the congregation, and Phinehas, the grandson of Aaron, ran a javelin through both of them and halted the plague from God. Up to that point in time, 24,000 Israelites had died in this plague because of the race-mixing sin of Baal worship. God was so impressed with this one Israelite who knew when it was a time to kill that the Lord made a covenant of an everlasting priesthood with his seed after him because he was zealous for his God and made atonement for the children of Israel. No doubt there were many Baal worshippers who would emasculate the Spirit of God's decree in denouncing such actions in our ultra-modern society today. Baal worship is a multiplicity of gods. It is not monotheistic. Elizabeth Dilling, in her book, which was mentioned last week, I think, The Jewish Religion and Its Influence Today, which was previously titled The Plot Against Christianity, she says this: to many Christians, Judaism is a monotheistic religion based on belief in one supreme being and adherence to the Old Testament, with the Messiah still to come. This is not so. Double talk is the trademark of Talmudic Judaism, called by Christ the synagogue of Satan. Talmudists sanctimoniously declare that their devotion to pure monotheism, or the unity of God, precludes their belief in his personality being incarnate in Jesus Christ, his son. And we Christians keep silent. The unity of God to which they refer is actually the oneness of the pantheistic Ein Sof, a mass without a chief engineer. This is the unity of nature in which the pagans believed. For every form of spirit invocation and for the deification of man, that is Judaistic Talmudism, a religion of polytheism, or many gods. Slyly, the polytheists say what they mean, and we do not understand them. Take any of the modern heresies, the new religions our tired Christians like to think were just evolved. You will find them all in the Talmud and its collection of ancient Old Testament paganism. The Jewish Kabbalah, with its non-existence of evil, its deification of man, is a source book for modern isms, the sources of which are largely unknown in modern times, end quote. Serving Balaam also meant serving Ashtaroth, his goddess wife, representing fertility in nature. The Greek and Roman spinoff being Astarte, from which we get the word Easter, and a reproductive multitude of cute little bunny rabbits and dying multicolored eggs. Maybe the church has more in common with Hugh Hefner's bunnies and Jesse Jackson's Rainbow Coalition than we thought. The followers of Ashtaroth danced around a sacred pole on May 1st, which has also become a high holy day for world communism. From Haley's Bible handbook, we read that the temples of Baal and Ashtaroth were centers of vice and extravagant orgies. Priestesses and sodomites were temple prostitutes. The book of Jasher explains the extent that non-Israelites went to tempt the men of Israel into sin. This is also known as the doctrine of Balaam, referred to in Revelation 2:14. Jasher says, quote, "The elders of Moab and Midian took all their daughters and their wives of beautiful aspect and dressed them in gold and silver and costly garments, seating them at the door of their tents, so that the Israelite turns to them and coveted them and would not fight against Moab. Then they enticed him with flattery and gave him wine, and he became intoxicated. And he did with the damsel as he pleased, for he knew not what he was doing. And the anger of the Lord was kindled against Israel on account of this matter, and he sent a pestilence amongst them. And there died of the Israelites 24,000 men. End quote. The Canaanites worshipped by way of immoral indulgence and debauchery as a religious rite or practice to Baal. Many people with eyes to see witness these things happening in America and think these people are just sinners. Yes, but there's much more. These abominations are actually part of the religion of Canaan. They did then and they do now these things as a religious exercise. Can you appreciate why God commanded Joshua to go in there and do some ethnic cleansing? In an archaeological excavation of this area, which preceded Joshua's campaign in 1500 BC, the ruins of the high places found great numbers of jars containing the remains of children who had been sacrificed to Baal. The whole temple area proved to be a cemetery for newborn babies. This nation used to believe in the sanctity of life, but now abortions have skyrocketed into the millions. The religion of Baal included the murder of innocent little children. It was not just something they did. It was a religious pageant that was done in the name of their god, Baal. Today, they just sanitize the murder of innocents by calling it pro-choice. To further this abomination, we are told by the Baal priest of today that humanity is destined to form a one-world brotherhood, a United Nations, per se. The enemies of Israel are motivated to reduce the number of white people. And they do this through their teaching and preaching of infanticide and women's rights. Abortion has become a tremendous growth industry. Church parking lots are host to blood drives and a bloodmobile to suck the life out of you. At the same time, these enemies of the white race promote premarital promiscuity in public schools so they can, in turn, force vaccinate our children against STDs, as Bilderberger Governor Rick Perry of Texas has done. Ever since sex education has been deemed as important as the three R's, it has expedited pregnancies in young girls of our race who then opt out for an abortion. And what, pray tell, is that? It is the murder of our future posterity, which is the doctrine of Baal worship. Amen. If these murderer abortionists just wanted to reduce the number of our race, they would simply inculcate in these young minds abstinence. Instead, our young people are being brainwashed in the liberal public schools and Jewish-controlled media. Parents don't realize the grave danger their children are being subjected to. The educational system and Hollywood are chock full of the trappings of Baal. Anyone who professes to be a white Christian American needs to ask themselves if we are doing the same things in America that caused the northern house of Israel to go into the Assyrian captivity thousands of years ago. From today's scripture reading in 2 Kings 7 through 17, we can find some definite parallels. Our race sinned against God, walked in the statutes of the heathen, did unrighteous things in secret, were warned by the prophets. They wouldn't listen to or believe in God. They accepted astrology as the norm. They burned their children in fires. They consulted with fortune tellers. They wore bracelets and trinkets for blessings. They made molten idols. They were as much the servants of sin as if they had sold themselves to be in bondage to the same thing. They served this alien Baal god to provoke the creator god of our race to anger. The modern Baal worshiper is as oblivious as in times past to the gravity of the sin brought into a family or nation and the subsequent plague that comes with it. They will be held accountable. Without turning from every evil way and turning back to God's law, there can be no godliness or peace in the church. With Baal being in good standing with the churches, it is inevitable that the churches who do so willingly will be removed, just as the ancients were. The pattern is all too clear. Our race is turning away from God to learn all of the things of the adversaries of God, the stranger and his strange gods. The so-called Great Commission of missionaries has wasted millions of dollars on the non-white foreigner that cannot and will not grasp the spirit of Christianity. But they sure do know a freebie handout when they see it. We feed, they breed. I know you love to hear the hate emails I get from Judeos from time to time. So here's one I got recently from a smug female missionary with the Anglican Church of Rwanda. She said, "Dear Mark, I recently came across your site in the midst of researching a paper I am writing on Kinsman Redeemer. Equals," she's got an equal sign here, "Jesus as our," it's all capital letters, which in email parlance is considered yelling. So I don't know if she's yelling at me or just emphasizing a word. I think she's yelling at me. She says, "Jesus as our Kinsman Redeemer." By that, I mean all caps, of us who name the name Jesus as Lord and Savior. I disagree with all caps, "you believe, but would be keen to engage with you on this issue if no other reason than to understand your approach to Scripture and the teachings of Christianity as held by Christians around the world. I look forward to hearing back from you." Well, I told her that her misunderstanding comes from what she thinks the word "all" means. And I sent her our good friend, the late Arnold Kennedy from New Zealand, a classic scholarly article entitled "The Misuse of the Word All, Every, and Whosoever." It's a great article. I told her I didn't want to debate with her and that I hoped she could learn something new. This is how she responded. I did learn from your site. I learned that some people don't have the right to the title pastor. I learned you know neither Scripture or Christianity. I learned you are a racist and will be held accountable for false teachings. I learned that anyone can give themselves the title pastor. I learned more about arrogance. I learned about sloppy biblical interpretation. You are treading dangerous ground. May God have mercy on your soul and protect others from your false teachings. Well, wasn't that special? She appears to be keen on engaging in diatribe more so than theology. This is the mind of a Baal worshiper that we must deal with, or they will deal with us. The way John 16:2 reports, they shall put you out of the synagogues. Yea, the time is coming when whoever puts you to death will have the belief that he is doing a service to God. Well, if that's going to be the case, then we're in good company with Jesus Christ. Amen. In fact, I always know I'm on the right track when I fulfill Matthew 5:11 that says, "Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake." Even if we are more righteous and bear the fruits of the Holy Spirit, their utter contempt for those who dare call it race are not just excommunicated, but deprived of our godly character through slanderous gossip, our influence to do good, and stripped of every necessity of life. An advocate of God's kind after kind is relegated to the dunghill of Gehenna. Real nice folks, these Baal worshipers of Judeo-Christianity. And now the self-righteous, pious fad is to adopt expendable kids from China and other third world countries with the cute appellation of blended families, all with the blessings of their local Baal priest. Even one of the presidential candidates, Michelle Bachmann, brags about having 23 adopted children. And she's still got time to be a congresswoman? What do you want to bet some of those 23 children are non-white? Since the Christian identity truth has come on the scene, the Baal churches have increasingly masterminded the big lie that the Jews are Israel and that the Jews who died in a so-called Holocaust is more precious than Christ who died on the cross. The Baal thinking goes that if you don't believe the sacrifice of Jewry, that we must never forget lest another one happen, then we are anti-Semitic. As if that's the worst thing in the world, next to the malevolent hate of Adolf Hitler, maybe. Of course, the Baal churches are the exclusive custodians of love. And if you don't have their brand of love, well, you're a serial terrorist under their corporate works. They've got so much love. They would put a Talmudic pawnbroker in charge of their church treasury and budget. Would appoint a pedophile beast of the field as their youth pastor. They would assign the pierced and tattooed barfly to the Halloween party committee. And on it goes. They've got so much Baal love, which the Bible calls fornication, that when they force our people to mix with other races and we resist, we are considered almost mentally ill. However, there is absolutely no scientific or biblical proof that such an accusation is true. In fact, nature proved just the opposite. Blue jays do not mate with cedar waxwings. Baal priest would have you believe that all bipeds are an exception to the rule of nature and that Christianity should follow suit, even though there is no admonition to do so in the Bible. Jeremiah 19:4-6 says, "Because they have forsaken me and have made this an alien place and have burned sacrifices in it to other gods that neither they nor their forefathers nor the kings of Judah had ever known, and because they have filled this place with the blood of the innocent and have built the high places of Baal to burn their sons in the fire as burnt offerings to Baal, a thing which I never commanded or spoke, nor did it ever enter my mind. Therefore, behold, the days are coming, declares the Lord, when this place will no longer be called Tophet or the Valley of Ben-Hinnom, but rather the Valley of Slaughter. The clock is ticking on Baal worshipers who infest Christian churches." Now, Tophet is a word that suggests beating drums, which is what they did so that the cries and shrieks of infants burning in the fire might not be heard by their parents. Baal churches love to be loud so that primal emotions can drown out any intelligent thinking or cries of protest. It's entertainment to feel good, not spiritual instruction to be righteous. If you've read Thomas Chittum's book, Civil War II, you know the demographics have radically changed in just a few decades. What has transformed America into this moral cesspool? It's Baal worship. Racial integration and immorality could not have flowered legally had not the shepherds of Israel turned their pulpits into altars of Baal. The duty of a Christian pulpit is to have shepherds who will protect the flock and bring down the Baals. Ezekiel 13:1-3 tells us, "And the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, prophesy against the prophets of Israel that prophesy, and say unto them that prophesy out of their own hearts, Hear ye the word of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord God, Woe unto foolish prophets that follow their own spirit and have seen nothing." Matthew Henry explains, "Where God gives a warrant to do anything, he gives wisdom. What they delivered was not what they had seen or heard, as that is which the ministers of Christ deliver. They were not praying prophets, had no intercourse with heaven. They contrived how to please people, not how to do them good. They stood not against sin. They flattered people into vain hopes. Such widened the breach by causing men to think themselves deserving of eternal life when the wrath of God abides upon them." End quote. The Billy Dead Man Walking Graham clones have done just the opposite of God's command to separate the races and enabled the defilement of a congregation with sodomites and pedophiles as equal participants in a worship service. Oh, did you get the memo from the Pentagon last week? Military chaplains will now be allowed to preside over same-sex marriages on military bases. Land of the free? Maybe too free to do those things contrary to God. Baal worship is basically a two-pronged abomination comprising race mixing and sexual perversion. Although later we will investigate and identify some 12 elements to show conclusively that Baal worship is in the Judaized churches. And as John's vision of Revelation 18:4 implores the white Christian to come out of her, that whorish church of mystery Babylon, come out of her, my people, that ye be not partakers of her sins, and that ye receive not of her plagues. If you hear the word democracy in a church put in a favorable light, it should raise red flags that you're in the middle of a Baal service. Democracy is two foxes and a chicken voting on what to have for lunch. Democracy is a mob deciding to make a golden calf while someone is up on the mountain getting instructions from God. Where was the church in 1964 with the passage of the Civil Rights Act, which really should have been called the Non-White Act? Our race is the custodian of God's law, whether self-loathing Caucasians like it or not. God told his covenant people in Isaiah 59:21, "My spirit that is upon you, and my words which I have put in your mouth, shall not depart from your mouth, nor out of the mouth of your descendants, nor out of the mouth of your descendants' descendants, says the Lord, from this time forth and forever." That's a long time. There's been a myriad of unbiblical and anti-white legislation since 1964, from affirmative action to hate crime laws to the proposed DREAM Act that would give amnesty to over 2 million illegal aliens that would virtually destroy white Christian America. And do we hear one cock-a-doodle-doo from the churches? Not a peep. Just this last week, the scribes of the synagogue play musical deck chairs on the sinking Titanic ship of Republican presidential candidates, giving the rescue boat to a Negro named Cain, who has a plan called 999. Now, if this inversion of the mark of the beast is not tongue-in-cheek, then I'll eat my hat. Are we to believe that a double whammy violation of Deuteronomy 17:15 is in the works? Thou may not set a stranger over thee, which is not thy brother. They have a dream, all right. That is our nightmare. It was quite a different tone and behavior to the prelude of the early formations of Christian America. Our descendants had gained an intelligence from the diligent study of the Bible, and all were honest and believers in Christ of the New Testament. Surely such men and women were thus driven out of their native England, yet hunted and intercepted in their flight as if they were criminals escaping from justice. Why did they suffer the spoilings of their goods, arrest, imprisonment, and exile? They had caught from the Bible an idea of a church independent of popes and monarchies, and independent of parliament, and dependent only on Christ. It was their mission to work out and organize that idea. They got an exhilarating whiff of liberty in Christ, breathing a new, delightful religious freedom that was intoxicating. Suddenly, their obligations to antagonistic authority found themselves at length utterly free. It wasn't that action was freed from the restraint of fear, as much as their thinking was freed from the necessity of the body politic to compromise with ecclesiastical repressions. We face a similar Leviathan today in the priestcraft of Baal, supplanting the higher powers of God with the idols of the heart, and having the audacity to call themselves Christians. We will recognize them by their fruits. That is, what is produced through their beliefs and conduct. In other words, we can identify the teachings and teachers of Baal through their attitude or spirit, which will be contrary to the mind of Christ and leading the sheep to sin. Are grapes gathered from prickly thorns? Just how pleasant is it to learn something by being stuck with a needle? The Baals are safe and secure for the time being. So are the Pharisees. Ignorance is bliss. If we learn very little in this life, it is a very dangerous thing. Baal worship depends on people being kept in the dark. Conversely, Christianity is predicated on intelligence. Proverbs 4:7 assures us that wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom. And with all thy getting, get understanding. Judeo-Christianity, on the other hand, by their doctrines, are destroying the race that has loved and followed Jesus Christ more than any other people. I don't know of a teaching that is more destructive, deceitful, manipulating, and treacherous than the misidentification of who Israel is in the Bible. It is not the Jews or a spiritual melting pot church. If our people are convinced in their minds that they are not the descendants of Israel, then it's all the more easier for Baal priests to persuade our people to learn the ways of the heathen. Karl Marx said, "Take away the heritage of a people, and they are easily persuaded." I'd say, take away our past, and we can look forward to a future of incessant mind control. They say children are our future. But what kind of children? Hybrids like Obama? That would be a very dark future indeed. Unfortunately, some of our Aryan youth emulate Aborigines with drooping baggy pants, backward baseball caps, facial piercings, and staining their skin with black ink. They even talk Ebonics and walk like a lower primate. They might as well be a Mamzer, having forsaken their racial heritage. But who can blame them entirely when they've been raised by colorblind parents? In an exponential maelstrom of exceeding tolerance and compromise with politically correct schools and churches to brainwash them in the ways of Baal. I've been told so many times by mothers and fathers, not just in Christian Identity, that they told their sons and daughters, if they ever married outside their race, they could forget about ever seeing or talking to their parents again. That's how strong they felt about it. And yet there are some parents who shudder at such an exhortation to their offspring, and are the ones who don't necessarily bow down to carved idols of wood or stone, but acquiesce to the mentality of Baal worship. They are a threat to the rest of us. I'm sure that thought was not lost in Elijah when he stood up to 400 priests of Baal. What communion hath light with darkness? Even if the odds are 400 to 1. How can a Christian yoke themselves together with those who are not allowed into the congregation and then pray, lead us not into temptation? They willingly plunge into it head first on their own accord. Christ can have no concord with Baal. Christ is the head of the church, but the church has lost its mind. What prompted this message is something so outrageous that happened to a friend of mine recently who lost his livelihood because of Baal worshipers. I will relate the story next time, as there will be a part two. The Baals must come down, and I will do everything I can to bust this monstrous charade that poses as Christian. The Bible warns us that there will be another gospel and another Christ impersonating the Word of God. I believe John's revelation of Mystery Babylon constitutes Baal worship in Judeo-Churchianity. And by the grace of God, they will be routed out in order for the kingdom of heaven to usher in a new age, a new Jerusalem, totally unlike that snake pit in the Middle East. I pray, Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable in thy sight. And may these messages be an eye-opener for our kindred to separate themselves from the dark and unrighteous spirit of Baal and come out of it so that they be not partakers of her sins and receive not of her plagues. Ladies and gentlemen, the plague is here now, and many shall be deceived. The plague is a famine of hearing the Word of God. But we who hold the sacred truth, and can truth be anything but sacred? Have the fountain of living waters and a tree of life that swallows up death in victory. Lord, hear our prayers. Heal our land of the Baals, and may our names be written in the book of life. Amen.